Welcome to Two Larrys and a Mic. I'm Larry Doughty.
Larry Bly here, and, sounds like a truck.
What's Mike doing behind the wheel?
Mike has decided on a possible career as a septic tank cleaning and repair service man because so many people have told him that he's full of great ideas, specializing in septic tank and grease trap cleaning, repair, and inspection, pump back system repair, and enzyme treatments, 24-hour service.
I never knew he had it in him.
Well, he doesn't anymore.
That's true. Oh, my.
That's Mike. You know. Oh, by the way, I wanted to tell you something real quick here. We are today broadcasting from the Robin Reed Podcast Center. Isn't everything?
He's never been in here.
Isn't everything named after him now?
Well, I never thought about that.
I got a sign. They're working up a sign to put up here in the studio and everything.
Yeah. I'm going to work on one to put up the Robin Reed Garage at the Doughty House.
Sounds like birthday time.
Oh, I'm ready. Here we go.
Yeah, go ahead.
For this episode 57, we have birthdays.
Oh, that's right. We didn't even tell what we're going to do today, did we? You want to do that?
No, just in case you're counting. Let's see. Guitarist Paul Stanley of Kiss is 71.
I just hauled off and started this thing.
Neil Diamond, 82.
Oh, no. Say it's not true.
It's true.
No, say it's not true.
You know what I would love to see? The on Broadway, Beautiful Noise, the story of Neil Diamond.
Yeah. I understand it's a pretty good show.
Alicia Keys, 42. Sarah McLachlan, 55.
Phil Collins is 72, and he looks like he's about 97. Have you seen him recently?
Yes, he is
in terrible shape. Justin Timberlake. I love me some Justin Timberlake.
Yeah,
he's a wonderful man. 42 years old. Singer Harry Wayne Casey of, guess what?
Casey and the Sunshine Band.
72. Isn't that awful? He can still shake his booty. Singer Tyler Hubbard of Florida, Georgia Line, is 36.
I love those guys. Also, Adam Lambert, 41. Luis Perez of Los Lobos, the drummer of the group, 70. Charlie Wilson of the Gap Band, 70. And Earlene Mandrell, 67.
Is she one of the Mandible sisters?
One of the Mandrell sisters.
Harry Styles is 29. And he's a wild man, man is.
I
can't figure him out, but I like him an awful lot. He's real cute. Lisa Marie Presley would have been 55. Whoops, she missed this one altogether.
Yeah.
Sad. Yeah. And Shakira is 45.
All right.
Tell me a Shakira hit before you tell us what we're going to do on this podcast.
I couldn't tell you the hits. I'm just too busy watching her shake.
Oh, you know all this stuff, Larry. Well, had I not jumped the gun, ladies and gentlemen, you would know what this podcast is supposed to be all about this time.
It's about it's not about birthdays. It's long tracks.
Hey Jude.
Papa was a Rolling Stone.
Bye-bye, Miss American Pie.
And me, I'm flying in my taxi.
I'm your
thick as a brick.
Green-eyed lady, lovely lady.
Wanna ride me a southbound down six.
I'll be the roundabout. Sangrias.
I gotta say, this is one of my favorite opening montages, including Hey Jude from the Beatles, Papa Was a Rolling Stone from the Temptations, American Pie, Don McLean, Taxi, Harry Chapin, Closer to Home, I'm Your Captain, Grand Funk, Layla from Derek and the Dominoes, We Are the World, USA for Africa, Do You Feel Like I Do, Peter Frampton, what a great song. Beginnings from Chicago, Thick as a Brick, Jethro Tull, Green Eyed Lady, Sugarloaf, Can't You See, Marshall Tucker Band, Roundabout from Yes, and Angry Eyes from Loggins and Messina.
Lawn tracks.
No, long.
Oh,
long,
okay. I thought maybe it was tracks that were recorded out in the yard.
No. Lawn tracks will be something Mike will probably be doing this spring.
Oh, okay.
In the yard, but that's beside the point.
Like American Pie by Don McLean at 8 minutes and 34 seconds.
That could be like American Pie.
That one got played on the regular radio.
You know, I found it interesting that Taylor Swift recently left her mark with a 10-minute song. And, of course, that song called All Too Well.
Did it get played?
Well, yes. Well, but there was also a 5-minute version of the song. Because that's what music companies do. They'll accept the 10-minute version, but could we edit that down just a little
bit? Well,
they've
always done that since the beginning of time.
That's exactly right, and that's why.
I mean, the first guy that recorded a rock and roll hit, it was like 2 minutes and 15 seconds. They said, do you think we could whittle that down to a minute 30? That's the way record companies work, ladies and gentlemen. I'm your captain. Closer to home, Grand Funk Railroad. 9 minutes, almost 10 minutes long, and we played it on AM radio, actually.
Yeah.
Gimme Shelter by Grand Funk, 6 minutes and 21 seconds long.
One of my favorites to this day, MacArthur Park, Richard Harris. In their day, of course, many of the songs that we're mentioning today would never have been over 4 or 5 minutes. It was unheard of to have MacArthur Park by Richard Harris in 1968. At a length of 7 minutes and 21 seconds. However, MacArthur Park reached number 2 on the Billboard Hot 100. I didn't realize this. It was a song written and composed by Jimmy Webb.
Well, it was not even composed for him. It was a part of a long series of movements that were to be put together, and it was offered to the Bee Gees originally, and they didn't like it. They didn't want it.
Yeah, and I also saw where they offered it to the Association.
They did.
And
Richard Harris,
they turned it down.
Well, Richard Harris, who was a Shakespearean actor in Europe, had always wanted to. Was that an airplane or was that a truck that just went
by? It just landed here in the backyard.
I believe that. Anyway, he always wanted.
We'll unload the luggage in a minute.
Go over here, boys. Anyway, he recorded the audio track in England and sent it over here, and they put it together with the musicians here. It was interesting how it came about.
And don't forget, Donna Summer jazzed it up a bit in the summer of 78 with her disco version. It stayed at number 1 for 3 weeks.
Who would knew that we in 1968 or whatever it was, we'd someday dance to that song?
Not me.
Oh, of course, there was a Paradise by the Dashboard Light by Meatloaf.
Oh, love that song.
Oh, Loaf was a man. He was something, I tell you. 8 minutes and 27 seconds. You know, the sports announcer in the middle of that doing a play-by-play swore later on that he didn't know he was doing something.
Oh,
that
come
could be,
on. Yeah. Come on, Phil Rizzuto.
Do you think Phil could possibly have been that naive?
No way. Yeah, well, no way. But they say...
Although I'm sure he recorded it separately.
Many will say that that was the greatest rock duet ever.
Duet?
Yeah, yeah. You had...
Meat and Loaf?
No. You had Meat Loaf. You had Ellen Foley.
Oh, that's right. Yes.
She was in there.
Oh, I forgot about that.
And they broke it down this way. The song is divided into three parts. Part one is Paradise. Part two, the baseball broadcast with Phil Rizzuto.
Where he's trying to get to first base.
Yeah. And part three is Praying for the End of Time.
Oh, I didn't know that.
So I never really looked at it that way.
What, Meatloaf again? Great song, though. I liked him. I don't know. There was just something about him I liked.
Did you know that Meat... and Ellen rehearsed the song for 10 days before recording the song at Bearsville Studios. You ready for this? Who produced it? Todd Rundgren.
Oh, I shouldn't be surprised. Yep. Dance With Me, George. Boy, you and I love that song by Ambrosia.
Great song.
7 minutes, 50 seconds, and it is the most amazing thing. It will take you on so many tours of music in one song.
It'll make you tired.
Oh, man, it tires you. Wears you out. Wears your plum out. I have to be seated when I listen to it. Hotel California, Eagles, 6 minutes, 30 seconds. I don't think I realized that.
Angry Eyes. Always one of my favorite songs from Loggins and Messina. The song was on their second album. That'd be the one with Your Mama Don't Dance and Thinking of You, which I always thought that was a cute song, very short.
Yep.
Angry Eyes came out in 72. It was 7 minutes and 40 seconds on the album. And simply a classic example of duo perfection, as I like to call it, and their work before Jimmy and Kenny went their separate ways. And here's another example of what the record company did. They took a 7-minute, 40-second song and cut it down to 2 minutes and 24 seconds.
They hardly got the first lyric out before they got. And speaking of eyeballs, you can't hide your lion eyes. The Eagles, 6 minutes, 22 seconds.
Great song.
And here's one that caused my friend Joe Price to get out of the radio business. Antigata DeVita, My Iron Butterfly, at 17 minutes and 4 seconds. That, however, was not the version we played on the air.
Yeah.
Antigata DeVita was a horrible 3 minutes and 50 seconds version we played on AM radio.
And, you know, we talk about the long and short of it, this being the long tracks. There are some long versions of these songs I don't think I've ever heard.
No, I agree.
Autobahn from Kraftwerk.
Well, who will listen to Autobahn anyway?
Well, it's,
I mean, really?
I guess if you're driving in your car, but it would probably help if you were on the Autobahn. 22 minutes and 43 seconds.
I was never a real big Autobahn fan.
What else? Oh, Thick as a Brick from Jethro Tull.
Oh, yes.
43 minutes and 50 seconds.
Stairway to Heaven by Led Zeppelin, 8 minutes, 3 seconds. And I played that at night. I could go through everybody's drawers at the radio station. not those drawers, ladies and gentlemen. Their desk drawers is what I mean. To see what was up.
Thank you for clarifying that.
Funeral for a friend. Well, I guess it was time to go through some other drawers too, but I never did stuff like that at the radio station. Funeral for a Friend, Love Lies Bleeding, Elton John, 11 minutes and 7 seconds.
Great song. Great song.
Here's another one. Can't you see? Marshall Tucker Band. I always love me some Marshall Tucker. To this day, I can just sit and listen to them. 6 minutes, 6 seconds on that.
I love the flute in that song.
Oh, yeah.
It is just so nice.
They had a great flautist on board.
Yes, indeed.
The great flautist.
I think we talked about this a couple of podcasts back. Sugarloaf. Green-eyed lady.
Yeah. And if we don't mention Hey Jude by the Beatles, a certain friend of ours will be a little out of sorts.
Sammy Oakey.
But
I understand that.
Okay.
Funny, we had come up with the idea of doing this podcast, Long Tracks, just like a day before we learned of David Crosby's death.
Yeah.
And, of course, the song I'm talking about, Sweet Judy Blue Eyes, just over 7 minutes long.
I don't see it here, but I think another one of his comes on this with... Sailing the Ship. I can't remember the name of the song. Well, we'll find it here in a little bit. Papa Was a Rolling Stone, Temptation, 7 minutes. That was unusual in that Motown was not famous for doing that kind of music.
That's true.
That was a breakthrough song for Motown. They were trying to get with it, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
7 minutes. I didn't realize that. I don't think I ever played a 7-minute version of that song. You mentioned that a while ago.
I think I did it one time.
Did you really?
But it was an oldie show, so it wasn't considered a new song at the time.
Okay. All right.
American Sweet, Cashman and West. Not exactly a popular song around here, but nationally, I think it did pretty darn well.
Well, let's go back up one.
Oh, let's do.
I missed something. In 1972, The Temptations released a 7-minute edit of their song, when we were just talking about Papa's Rolling Stone, down from its original 12 minutes on the original version. I never knew that. Interesting.
Rare Earths, Get Ready. There's a 21-minute version of that song.
Oh my
That's
God.
One I have not heard.
I've not heard that either. The Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald, which I think has to be the most depressing song ever played on the radio.
That's true.
It just goes on and on. In fact, it goes on so long they don't even have a list of how long it is on here. Apparently their clock stopwatch wore out.
I get it.
Waiting for that thing to sink.
Yeah.
How did that become a big hit record? I love me Gordon Lightfoot. I just adore Gordon Lightfoot. But that song.
But it doesn't compare to Sundown.
Talk about a song that we could just completely stop a rock and roll record format.
Yeah.
And yet we all played it.
Absolutely.
It was a big song.
I mean, it had the same flavor as a song like Taxi from Harry Chapin. By the way, that was 6 minutes and 42 seconds.
Another depressing song.
Yep. Yeah.
Layla, Derek and the Dominoes. Man, what a great hit that was. 7 minutes, 5 seconds.
You know one we have left out?
What?
Roundabout.
Oh,
the
you're
long
right.
version
you're
of right Roundabout from Yes.
Yeah. We Are the World, USA for Africa. 6 minutes, 22 seconds. The song features 46 singers, including stars like Willie Nelson, Cyndi Lauper, Tina Turner, and Stevie Wonder.
Great bunch. Let's see. Foreplay and Long Time.
Beg your pardon?
Yeah, that's what it's called. 7 minutes, 56 seconds from Boston. And what a great, great song that was. Rolling Stone described Foreplay Long Time as a perfect marriage. Ready for this? This is coming from Rolling Stone now.
All right.
A perfect marriage of Led Zeppelin and Yes that plays musical chairs with electric and acoustic sounds. Tom Scholz, band leader, wrote it. The instrumental introduction of Foreplay makes the song radio turned that combo into one song from the album at 7 minutes and 47 seconds. However, the second single from their debut album in 76 was Peace of Mind. The B-side of that single was 2 minutes and 25 seconds of Foreplay.
So if I do this, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. Bum, 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 bum.
Aqualung.
Aqualung, yeah. That was a very famous opening. 6 minutes and 36 seconds. Mm-hmm. Jethro Tull. I like them an awful lot. The Loadout and Stay. Jackson Browne. 8 minutes, 35 seconds. And you've already mentioned Angry Eyeballs by Logan's mm-hmm. Messina. Mm-hmm. And I Cheat the Hangman. Doobie Brothers. We featured them a podcast two ago as well.
That is just a great song.
It is a great song.
Beginnings, mm-hmm. Chicago, 7 minutes and 55 seconds.
Oh, man, that was a great song, wasn't it?
That was. I mean, even though there was a shorter version, I think we all kind of got used to, there was just nothing like hearing the long version of that.
So. Here they haven't listened. Allman Brothers, Eat a Peach album, the entire album. The heck with songs, this is one big song.
What is it, a Mountain Jam, I think, that's on the album, that is just so long. It's an instrumental version of Donovan's There Is a Mountain.
Yeah. First there is a mountain, then there is no mountain.
Yep. Yep. You can't always get what you want.
No, you can't.
No.
Oh, that's the name
and that's
of the song.
The song, too.
Oh, yes.
You're
right
7 minutes
that.
And 29 seconds for the Stones.
How about that?
So,
well, there you have it.
Did we cover it all? I know we didn't cover it all.
We did a pretty good job of it, I think.
Does that mean it's...
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Is it that time?
Mm-hmm.
Seconds
of guessing.
That's what I was afraid of.
And I guess you wonder what the gift is going to be today.
Maybe.
From the prize closet.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, Larry, it's the gift of laughter. Today.
I think we've already tried that out today.
This is an audio track of Gary Owens.
Okay.
You know, Laugh Ends Gary Owens.
Oh, yeah.
On either Christmas Day or Christmas Eve.
Uh-huh.
And you remember, we've discussed this in the past, Larry,
okay.
about how the day before the day of radio stations would suspend their regular programming
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
for Christmas greetings. And we'd have to read all those awful greetings that they sold. And you never read them in advance because there were so many of them. You just, sort of, they had a big book in front of you and you just piled through it and read them cold. Anyway, they're mostly said the same things, you know. Anyway, here's Gary Owens reading one of those cold, and here's how that went.
Christmas means many things to many people. To some, Christmas means glittering lights, gaily wrapped gifts. That's right. Sounds of laughter and good cheer. To the folks at Preparation H, it means a time to pause for a few moments to... to give thanks to their friends who've been so kind and generous. So from Preparation H to you and yours, a very Merry Christmas.
I don't think that I've ever heard Gary Owens crack up before, but we'll never be able to say that again now, will we?
You know, and it's probably, well, he didn't pre-read that.
There's no way. But you know what? That's where the salespeople do terrible things to us, disc jockeys. They should have known that whoever read that was going to get tickled. That was one of those that should have been pre-recorded, because they did pre-record some of it.
Yes.
You know, you'd read about three of those, mm-hmm. and then you'd hit a cart, and then they'd do three more,
right.
and then they'd come back to you and read. So anyway, they knew they were asking for trouble when they did that.
Preparation H. Yeah.
Well, you know, it's a big radio station when your local people know the Preparation H people. Anyway, so you ready for this?
I'm ready.
Gift of laughter. Here we go. And all of these, by the way, of course, in keeping with our theme uh-huh. here today, which is what? On the lawn?
The long tracks.
These are all long tracks.
Okay. I met a girl who sang the blues.
Easy peasy.
That's my buddy.
And I asked her for some
Dominic Lane, American Pie.
The American Pie, okay. Absolutely. Yeah. I knew, put it in there just for you, because I knew you'd want. Here's another one.
Take him by the hand.
Doors and Riders of the Storm.
Jim Morrison, yeah. Beautiful voice.
What was the original of that? It was like 7 minutes, 15 seconds,
I think. Was. Yeah, it was a great song. Yeah. Here's another.
Paradise. Meatloaf.
Meatloaf. Easy.
Stairway to Heaven. From Zeppelin.
Yep. Led Zeppelin. He had a good voice, I thought.
Mm-hmm.
Here's another one. You'll know this one right off. This
is the day. What a great song. Steely Dan and Deacon Blues.
Yep, you got it. Well, I tell you, you're going to get this gift of laughter after all. Easy.
Oh, man, I love these guys. Beginnings in Chicago.
Chicago. That's back when they were basically brass before they started doing other stuff. Here's another one.
Knights in White Satin and... Moody Blues.
Yeah, that's all I gave you, too, by the way. You did pretty good on that
Thank
one.
You so
we
much.
Mentioned this one earlier.
Green-Eyed Lady, and the clip is not going to do it justice. Sugarloaf.
Sugarloaf. I let it run a little longer than the other one because I know how you and I get all moist when we hear this song. So here we go. Here's another one we mentioned.
Roundabout.
Mm-hmm.
This is the long version.
That was a long opening on that song.
Yes.
Yeah. And that's all I gave you, and you got it anyway.
Okay.
Good for you.
Well,
haven't missed a single one.
Well.
You'll know this one too. I'm pretty certain of it.
Okay. Here we go. Oh wow! Doobie Brothers and Cheat the Hangman.
You got it.
And that was from the Stampede album, which I love that album.
If you say so.
Okay. You're very agreeable today.
I just played their singles. I never remember. I don't think I ever had any of their albums. Okay, one more.
Yeah.
I saw her today at the reception.
You can't always get what you want.
A glass of wine.
Stones.
In her hand.
That's it.
Mick.
You nailed it, 100%. I'm very proud of you, Mr. D. You are really something, I'll tell you
that. I
get
to hear Gary Owens talk about Preparation A.
Isn't that awful?
For Christmas.
It's just terrible. I'm sorry. We're laughing about it. What's wrong with us? We're like a bunch of school children. I mean, really.
That's what we do.
This just in, ladies and gentlemen, to our newsroom.
What is that sound?
It's a teletype machine.
Oh, what's a teletype machine?
Well, you know, those bells meant it was something big and important coming across.
Oh, okay. Today it's just a notification.
The father of Peeps candies has just died at the age of 98.
No.
Ira Bob Born, B-O-R-N, a candy company executive known as the father of Peeps. For mechanizing the process to make marshmallow chicks.
Hmm.
Well, I mean, someone had to do it.
That's true.
Has died at the age of 98. And, you know, that just goes to show they're not bad for you. The company's current machines, which are still based on Bob's original design, now pump out, are you ready for this? 5.5 million peeps per day.
That's because people keep putting them in the microwave.
Well, I do. It softens them up. But
it softens.
You only give them a couple of seconds.
Yeah, you
got to
be real careful there.
Just Born is the company.
Yeah.
Makes around 2 billion peeps each year, or enough to circle the globe 2.5 times, which, let's face it, would be a sugar-covered gooey mess to deal with. But anyway, I just thought that was interesting.
That really is.
And by the way, I happen to love them a lot.
Peeps are nice.
Peeps are nice. So let's, I guess we'll go into deaths. I hate to do this, but we've lost some really big ones this time around.
Yeah, we really have. We mentioned with Sweet Judy Blue Eyes, David Crosby, founding member of two popular influential 60s rock bands, Byrds and Crosby, Stills, and Nash. Later, Crosby, Stills, Nash, and Young.
Mm-hmm.
He died on January 19th. He was inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame twice as a member of the Byrds in 91 and Crosby, Stills, and Nash in 97. And while never the principal writer in either of the Byrds or Crosby, Stills, Nash, and Young, Crosby made a huge presence in his harmony with all of the groups that he was in. Multiple chart hits for both bands. And yeah, I was thinking when I heard that he had passed away, do I have a favorite Crosby, Stills, Nash, and Young?
I have several
song
of them.
I don't know if I can narrow one down, though.
No, I know.
I mean, just about everything they did sounded perfect.
You want to hear what Bob Dylan had to say? Bob Dylan, he said, Crosby was a colorful and unpredictable character.
Mm-hmm.
Wore a Mandrake the Magician cape, didn't get along with too many people, and had a beautiful voice, an architect of harmony. Bob Dylan wrote that in his 2004 memoir, Chronicles, Volume 1.
I think, as you were reading it, I was thinking, well, do I have a favorite? I think one of my favorite songs.
Oh, Wooden Ships is what I was trying to think
wooden
of.
Wooden Ships. Okay.
That was a long song.
Yes, it was. Right. I think you're right.
That one slipped my mind.
Yeah. But a great song.
And that's a great song.
That is. I think my favorite would be, of all things, well, I got two, Carry On and Our House.
Mm-hmm. Always. It was a very, very, very fine
with
house.
With two cats in the house on the back of the couch. Right.
Thanks for sending me those pictures. This, well, Lair and the Misras have just gotten a new kitty cat. She's actually 4 years old, didn't you tell me that?
Yeah.
So anyway, and her name is Libby, and I get pictures on a regular basis from Larry on my cell phone. And I love them. I always thank him for sharing. She is so cute. She's so fun.
She is making the house her own.
I can tell.
And Wheeler, our other... He also is four. It's like, I'm just going to sit in the background and let her get in trouble. She can lay the groundwork, and then I'll come in behind.
She's running the house.
Yeah, she pretty is.
Oh, well, we've got some more. Were you finished with Crosby things? Three Dog Night drummer Floyd Sneed died just the other day, shortly after the band formed in 1967. They actually added several more members, including Floyd Sneed. Heard here.
So that's who did that.
So in actuality, Three Dog Night was probably five or six dog nights. I think so,
that's
anyway.
True.
It is true. There was a lot more than just three people. But anyway, that was Mr. Floyd Sneed. Unfortunately, he died the other day. Also, Barrett Strong, artist known for Money, has died at the age of 81. Barrett Strong, one of Motown's founding artists and most gifted songwriters, who sang lead on the breakthrough single Money. That's him singing. Of course, that song got redone many, many times.
Oh, yeah.
So he made a lot of money. He co-wrote it with, later collaborated with Norman Whitfield on such classics as I Heard It Through the Grapevine, War, and Papa Was a Rolling Stone.
Wow.
He died at the age of 81. Hmm. Barrett was not only a great singer and piano player, but he, along with his writing partner Norman Whitfield, created an incredible body of work for Motown. Founder Berry Gordy Jr. said in a statement recently, Gordy is still hanging in there, man.
He really is.
He's like, has to be like 112 years old. But anyway, that was a big loss. He was a very, very, very talented guy.
Yeah.
He was.
Indeed. So the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame Foundation, they're out with their new list of nominees for 2023.
Mm-hmm.
Some of these names you will recognize.
Okay.
Others you'll go, huh?
Yeah. How'd that happen?
Exactly. Kate Bush, Sheryl Crow, Missy Elliott, Iron Maiden, Joy Division, New Order. You know who that?
No.
Okay.
No, I'm sorry. I must have missed out on that. I must have been sick that day.
Yeah. Cyndi Lauper is on the list of nominees for 2023. George Michael.
Mm-hmm.
Not Wham, but just George Michael as a solo artist. Willie Nelson. Now, if y'all pass over Willie on this one. Well, somebody gonna have some explaining.
He's very deserving.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Rage Against the Machine, Soundgarden's on the list.
What did Rage Against the Machine?
Tell you one song.
Okay.
The Spinners made the list.
I know you're always up to date on these.
Well,
things,
I try to, but every now and then it's like who
trying to help me through.
The Spinners made the list. A Tribe Called Quest. You have their album.
I was just listening to them before we came in. This morning.
How's that tune go?
On my Victrola. I don't know.
The White Stripes And
I always loved the Black Stripes better.
Warren Zevon also made the list. And so online voting at vote.rockhall.com will be going on through April 28th. And I'm certain with the nominees this year, that's going to give us another topic down the road where we can say, are you all for real?
Well, I have a Hall of Fame factoid from Jan Winner. You know, Jan Winner was the guy that started Rolling Stone magazine and owned it all those years, became a multi-gazillionaire. Mm-hmm. And he wrote a biography, I think, just this last year, and it's 550 pages. I'm still making my way through
it. Still working your way
through. And the other day I came across this, and knowing that we were going to be mentioning the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, I pulled this quote up. He said, "We began visiting the cities that had expressed interest in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. The building.
Okay.
Philadelphia, Chicago, Memphis, and Cleveland. We barely got a response from New York City because it didn't need another cultural attraction, let alone one as amorphous as a music museum." So they just weren't interested. Big yawn from New York City.
Huh.
Memphis, their big inducement was free round trip to airline tickets. That's all they offered them.
What?
They didn't even offer them a meal. So he and Ahmet Erdogan of Atlantic Records went on a little tour to all these cities to see if anybody would be interested because they came up with the idea. Chicago's mayor offered some interest and words from the immortal Bruce Springsteen, thinking that would be cool. I don't think that impressed anybody. And he said, "I personally like Philly. They offered us a great column building at the University of Pennsylvania campus." Period.
Oh.
He said, "Our last stop was Cleveland." Last stop was Cleveland. They went all out. They had parades and people greeting us everywhere. Some fine financial offers like $15 million to sweeten the pot to build this building and lots of tax breaks and everything else. And he said, "We settled on Cleveland." That's how it came to be.
Wow. So that's how it ended up
That's how it ended up there.
Huh. Yeah.
So anyway, we have something unrelated.
No?
Well, today we're making napkin holders out of wristwatches. See, you take this wristwatch and you knock out all... Isn't it really nice?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you knock out all this watch party.
Ooh, you take the face and the works right out of it.
You take all of that stuff right out of there. Like
oh,
this.
Oh, my gosh.
And then you dip it in the shellac over here.
Yeah.
And you roll up this napkin. Like this?
Yeah.
And you put the watch around it. And
you have something to hold your napkins with.
That's right.
Uh-huh. Okay.
This is Arnold Smong saying, never use a blowtorch.
Apropos of absolutely nothing. But, you know, you know me. I get in the studio here. I tinker around and I find stuff. And if it amuses me, then we go for it.
Dare I ask where you found that?
No.
Okay, I won't.
Oh, yeah. Well, you won't know, really?
Yes.
See this box here under my feet? See that box down there full of tapes?
You know, I had a box just like that, but it's in the Roanoke landfill right now.
Yeah, see, that's why you can't find anything fun.
Yeah.
That's why you can't find anything fun.
No, I'd have nothing to play it on.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for listening to episode 57 of Two Larrys and a Mike. If you enjoyed this podcast, this episode, please subscribe to the show. You can find Two Larrys and a Mike wherever you get your podcast, and be sure to share the podcast with someone. Just click on the share button. Join us next time for Two Larrys and a Mike. I'm Larry Doughty.
Larry Bly here. And Mike is out there.
I don't know if this is going to work.
Septic tank cleaning and repair service. This guy going. It sounds like he's got a pretty big truck.
Yes, he does. It's going to get deep soon.